Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, Iran may be thousands of miles away, but the war is hitting us all as the price of oil has breached $100 a barrel. And we've seen and heard prices heading north at both the pumps and for home heating oil here. But what are the global factors in play? Delighted to be joined by John Eilly, the Deputy Business Editor with the Sunday Times in Ireland. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bobby. Nice to speak to you again.
You too, John. Now, you're about the same vintage as myself, so you remember back in the 70s when we had the oil crisis the last time. And I remember it vividly, the actual shutdown of the country and the scrambling around for fuel and driving around with jerry cans in the back of your car and fellas smoking at the same time. God, I remember it well.
Absolutely. Well, I was a child in the 70s, and I can remember sitting in the back of my parents' station wagon, this is in New York, waiting in very long queues to get gasoline. And that, of course, you know, had to do with OPEC deciding to throttle supply. And then later on, of course, the Iranian Revolution in 1979. And that was really the end of Jimmy Carter's presidency once that happened. And he was forever associated with fuel shortages and inflation and generally an economic malaise in the United States. What we're facing now, Bobby, is a very acute shortage, which is caused by the disruption of war in the Persian Gulf. So yeah. Less a decision by the OPEC cartel and more a decision by the United States and Israel to begin a war with Iran, which has now shut down the Strait of Hormuz. And as you rightly point out, oil has gone up above $100 a barrel. It settled yesterday at over $103, in fact. Now, that wasn't the highest it hit during the week. It was up above 110 earlier in the week. But then markets calmed down a little bit when Donald Trump said that the war wouldn't last very long and that the United States was achieving all of its military objectives. But we can't forget that Iran has cards to play here too, and they do not seem very interested in opening up that strait. And in fact, there have been reports that they're mining the waters there, which could disrupt supply for some time to come.
Yeah. As I understand it, John, and I had a look about this to try and understand how the pricing of oil actually works. But it basically, as I understand it, we need 100 million barrels a day to satisfy the world needs. And the way to measure it is about the amount of oil actually in the pipes, in the form of getting it through the global system every day. And as I understand it, things like the Straits of Hormuz, about 15 to 20% of the world's oil goes through there. So once that's inoperable, then you work down, that's 20,000 million barrels that you're short. And I was also looking at the International Energy Agency, the IEA, an interesting body because they were formed out of the last crisis and they've now released supply, but they've only released about, I think, 4 to 5 million barrels a day when we need 100 million. So it's only a tip of the iceberg. Give us your sense of how we measure the price of oil and how it impacts the regular Joe.
Well, there's two aspects of it. There's the spot price, which is the price today, and that's what we've seen spiking. And then you have futures prices, which basically give an indication of where the market thinks prices are going to settle. And for now, those are relatively benign. There's actually a good piece of work by Bank of Ireland's chief economist, Conal McQuilla, who has pointed out that by early next year, markets see oil back down at $75. Now, that's a pretty benign view of what's going to happen in this war. And so it's essentially saying that we'll have a short shock where oil isn't flowing, but things should settle down and then get back online in a month or so, let's say, so that the supply shortage can be fixed over the next 12 months and we'll kind of be back to normal next year. That's the benign view, right? And this ripples through the economy. So even though we have this short-term shock, even if it does get better by next year, it will still feed through the entire system because oil still is at the heart of everything the world does industrially. So big economies like Korea, Japan, China, and India especially depend on oil from the Persian Gulf, less so Europe and the United States, North America. But we can't forget how much of the products we consume every day come from East and Southern Asia. And as they run short on oil, production will decline. You potentially could see lower global output. Consumer spending then will decline because prices at the pump or your heating oil and all of the things you're buying that depend on oil become more expensive. So your disposable income declines. And what happens is the risk is that you spiral into something like a global recession. That's the real fear everybody has. Yeah. And at the same time, we'll be facing inflation, which is a combination you don't want to have in your economy.
And if we go back to the Persian Gulf, then they supply about 30% of the world's oil. So, you know, anything there is going to have major implications. And it's kind of ironic that the Russians tend to be the beneficiary of this war, which is a kind of an unexpected outcome, let's call it.
Yeah, not exactly to be wished for from a European point of view. As you rightly point out, Russia is a major exporter of oil as well, one of the largest in the world. So as the price goes up, so too does Russia's revenues, which enables them to finance their continued war in Ukraine. And of course, President Trump in the U.S. has lifted sanctions that had applied to Russia for the last 4 years, which will now allow big buyers like India, which is quite dependent on Iranian oil, to buy more from Russia. And I believe I saw a figure in the FT this week that it's to the tune of $150 million extra a day is now going into the Russian exchequer on the basis of these inflated oil prices. Just one thing to point out, though, is that world markets, for the most part, are not pricing in a disaster. Now, that doesn't mean a disaster isn't on the horizon. It just means the market has not decided that that disaster is coming yet. So if you look at stock markets, the S&P last week was down 2.5%, the NASDAQ down 4%, Eurostoxx down 1.3%. So not really in super bearish territory. However, bond markets are doing something interesting, and this is really worth listening to for your audience. The forward rates, the prediction basically on which direction the ECB is going to go, we're down at 2% now in terms of ECB rates since the record-breaking increases we saw in 2022 that really ratcheted up the cost of borrowing. But now markets are pricing in two rate hikes this year alone, back up to 2.5%, which is not a scenario that anybody was contemplating a month ago. So the price of money is likely to go up as a result of the increased oil price because it feeds through into inflation. And the European Central Bank's job is to fight inflation. So as we see prices going up across all kinds of goods, the central bank is likely to respond to that. Already in Ireland, we see that our inflation is a little out of a little above the preferred 2% level. It's at 2.7% right now. And as the euro area inflation ticks up, you'll see the central bank start to respond by perhaps raising rates, which, again, not great for business, not great for individual households. I mean, great if you have money on deposit if rates go up, but overall, yeah, higher rates tend to slow down the economy.
And we all know that when the deposit rates are always the last to go up if you do have savings. So there we have it, John. Sorry to end on a pessimistic note, but that's John Isle there, the Deputy Business Editor at the Sunday Times Ireland. Thanks a million, John. We'll talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.